to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
In the move of God, we're going to have to move. There are things that we're going to have to do. There's going to be things that's going to be really uncomfortable for you at times. How many of you have had some really uncomfortable moments this last year? Let me see your hand. I want to make sure I'm not the only one. You know, because you know what? I was just sharing this with a couple. Janice and I had some time off for Christmas and New Year's. And it's like, wow, man, I can't wait to go get some rest and just do nothing. Just kind of veg out. But then we prayed one morning. We said, Lord, let us be a part of somebody's Christmas that will really help them. And let us be wherever we need to be. We don't want to just go on a vacation and drive off into the sunset and forget about everything. But God, use us, whatever it takes. Just put us where you need to put us. Well, we've been in and out of the hospital, putting people in and out. I had to put my mom back in there and other people visiting with them. But we had a couple that called us and they said, look, our marriage is gone. There's no hope for it. The husband called me. And I told Janice, I said, get the suitcases out. We're not going. Get them out of the car. We're staying here. We're going to see what God's going to do. And I want you to know, we had probably one of the biggest blessings we've ever had in our life to sit there with this couple for 5 hours at my house and just share Jesus with them, because one of them was not a Christian, and just share Christ with them and just share God's love and how God can put them together. And as we're doing that, both of them are weeping and saying, we never heard anybody talk like this about a covenant, about that we are one. We never knew that we were one. We just thought we got married. And I said, you did, but you became one according to the Word of God. And God will put you together that nobody will separate you. And we sit there and watched a miracle in our home. And I'm going to tell you what, it is a blessing, because you just don't get put on hold. You get put in the service of God. But I'm saying all of that to say, I heard the voice of the Lord say, come, I have a job for you to do. And I just thank God that we were available, that we were there for this couple to help them. And one day you may get to see who they are. They don't go to church here at all. But you may get to see who they are and see what God did. Because you know what? I'm still convinced that God's in the miracle working business. And if he is concerned about people, he's concerned about you. But he's still calling you to come. And there's going to be times when he calls it, you're going to have to sacrifice some things to hear the voice of God. One of the things about answering the call of God is you're going to have to be a very good listener. Because God is just not going to scream things in your ear. He's going to speak in a still, small, gentle voice at times. And he's just going to say, would you go here and would you do that? And if you're not listening, and if you're not watching what God's going to do, you're going to miss a very valuable time in your life. And I want us, you know, like Mike was saying earlier, that this is going to be the last service that we're going to be together for 08, you know. But we're going to be here for 09. And I want you to be back. But the key thing is I want to see us grow in the graces of God. And when Jesus does say, come and follow me, I want to make sure that we're all on the same page, that we're all going in that direction. Because most of the time, God's going to use you when he says, come and follow me in your personal life first. But then he's going to say, come and follow us at times. And I'm going to explain that as we move on in the service. But when he calls, we got things to do. And we can't just put things on the side and say, no, this is more important or that's more important, and I got to go here. Because when Jesus called me, I began to read those scriptures, how hard it would be to be a Christian. You know, a lot of people say, well, all you got to do is come down to the altar and just repent of your sins and ask Jesus to come in. Now, how many of you know that sounds really easy? But how many of you know that that is a total lie? And I'm not hurting your feelings, but I want you to know when you follow Jesus, there is a cost. It's going to cost you your life. There's going to be things that you are not going to be able to do that you used to do. There's going to be people you're not going to have to, you're going to hang around with that you used to hang around with. And I don't want to get ahead of my service, but the sermon here, but we got to understand the call of God is deep. And when he calls, we need to stop and think about, what is he calling me to? Am I going to get heaven out of this? Yes. Am I going to get eternal life out of this? Yes. But am I going to get persecution and suffering out of this? Yes, you will. They all come. But I've been in this thing long enough to watch people come and answer that call and come down here. And the first trial they get, they go the other way because it's too hard for them to do. And church, I want you to know we can't do that. If we're going to follow the things of God, we need to know that victory is always right around the corner. And I've watched people give up right before they made that one last little turn and go away from the things of God. When if they would have made that turn, they could have saw a great miracle happen. Amen? Jesus says, come and follow me. The call. I want you to listen to this part. The call is what God's calling us to do. Pastor Terry touched on this last week. I was like, he's going to preach my whole sermon just in the last part of his sermon. But I want to pick it up right there because I already had this to start with. But I want to pick it up right there about the call. And Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be washed white as wool, yea, whiter than snow. He's saying, come, come. I desire to have you as part of my life. It's a call. Isaiah 55, it says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters of life. I want you to know when you were dry and thirsty, Jesus is the one that will give you the water. Amen? Because he is the water. It says, incline your ear and come to me. Incline your ear. That tells me that we have a part of doing something here, and that is inclining our ear. If you need to, you need to put your hands on your ears and say, Lord, I want to be sure that I hear you and only you. Amen? Matthew 4:19 says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, if I ask you that question today, if you were a fisherman like Peter was, and Jesus came to that boat that day and he says, Peter, you're no longer going to be a fisherman. I want you to come and I want you to follow me. Peter says, okay. He put the nets down. He tied the boat up. He told his father, he said, I'm not fishing anymore. I'm going with Jesus. Now, he didn't just go somewhere and sit on a cloud. He didn't go somewhere and just do nothing. He went with Jesus everywhere Jesus went. And it was a sacrifice. There were life changes in his life after that day. You don't hear much about him when he was doing other things. But when his life started changing, things began to change in his life. And I want you to know when we begin to walk the way that Jesus walks, we're going to have some changes to make in our life. There's going to be some things that we can't do anymore. There's some things that we're going to have to listen to him and say, Lord, what are you really saying about that? Because if we don't, you see, Peter was walking side by side Jesus every day from that point on. But there were still times that Jesus had to get on to him. He even called him. He said, Satan, get thee behind me one time. Because he was getting ahead of where Jesus was going. And we're going to do the same thing at times. Every one of us will do that. We're going to get to those levels where we get so high. And we're going to look out there and see Jesus walking on the water. And it's like, wow, I can do that. And we're going to step out that boat and we're going to begin to walk on the water. And first thing you know, we may find ourselves sinking. Because we take our eyes off of the Lord. That's part of the call. That's part of the things that Jesus says, and I will make you fishers of men. That's a clue right there. If we answered the call and said, Jesus, I will follow you, then the next thing is, he said he's going to make us fishers of men. When I go fishing sometimes down in Venice with Kerry and a bunch of the guys, the first thing I do is go get my rod and reels out, and I start oiling them. I go get some good new string on it because it gets dry rotted. And you have to put new string on it. And I've tried to find out the hottest bait that's going on out there. And I still found out a hook with a piece of meat on it's better than anything. Still catches fish, you know. You can go buy all the baits you want to, but some of them just don't work. It takes that stinky smell for another fish to want to buy it, to eat it. But there's something to do when you go fishing. But when we go to fishing for men, what do we do a lot of times as Christians? We sit back and we say, you know, someone else will do that. But every time I go fishing and I'm in a boat with a bunch of guys and they all fishing and I'm not catching anything, I get really irritated. And it's like, you know, they're having all the fun. They're getting all the fish and putting it in their box, and my box is getting very thin. Janice is going to be home with the frying pan, and I'm going to come home with no fish. I got to do something. So I have to make myself think about what I'm doing. How to put that hook at the right place at the right time and do the right thing. How to set that hook. How to get it in the boat. How to get the net. How to put it there. How to put it in the ice chest. How to clean it. How to bring it home. There are things to do. And Christianity is no different. When Jesus says, go out, I'm going to make you fishers of men. That when we go out, the first thing we ought to do is get our tackle box out. And we ought to get sharp on the Word of God. Refresh some of those scriptures that we already know. Those Romans road to salvation. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And let those scriptures begin to roll in our spirit. And get that determination to where I'm going, and I ain't coming back alone. I'm going somewhere, and when I get there, I promise you, I'm going to witness to somebody, and I'm going to see them saved. Now, I know sometimes you don't always do that because the Scripture says that we go and we like plant seeds. And it says some of the seed fell on good ground, some of it fell on hard ground, but some of it fell on fallow ground. And that tells me that something is going to come up right there. But the key thing is there's things for us to do. How many of you understand that's part of the call? That did not get eliminated from the call. It is the call. And if I can do anything today, I want to jog you as a Christian and say, there's work to be done for the kingdom of God. There's things that we have to do. We are going fishing for men. You know, thank God for you guys that come on a rainy day like today and holidays. We got a lot of folks that's out there traveling. Be praying for them. There's so many things that go on the highways, but be praying for those that are not here. But thank God that you're here. But since you're here, maybe you can get one of these tapes and you can give it to somebody. Because you know what? I think we need to have a fishing year for men and women and little children. Amen? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. John 3:16 was the invitation that every one of us probably answered. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What better bait? I don't want to compare it with a bait, but what better bait do you have? When you throw the Word of God out there, it's going to catch people. Amen? Because they need to be touched. Bill and Charlene were telling me a while ago, one of the saddest things, I asked them, I said, well, when you was playing Santa Claus, did people pull on your beard and say, are you real, and all that kind of stuff? And he said, yeah, they all did. Little babies intertwined their hands in there and jerked on him. And he said, tell me one of the saddest things, it was a little kid came in there and told him that her daddy had just been killed. Is that what it was, Bill? Her daddy had just been killed right before she came to see Santa Claus. You know, that tells me that there's a family somewhere that needs to be touched. There's a family that needs to be cared for. There's a family that needs God in their life. And what a better place to be. Whether you're playing Santa Claus, or you're doing your work, or you're your neighbor, there's places and things that we can do. There's fishing holes everywhere. Everywhere. And it's up to us to get our stuff together. I should have brought a rod and reel up here today, huh? It's up to us to get our places together and do that. John 8:12, it says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. You know, it is so exciting to walk in the light of God. To know that we're not in this thing in the blind, that we don't know where we're going or what's going to happen. We know by the Spirit of God that we can walk in the light as He is in the light. That we can know things before they ever happen sometimes. And how many of you know that we're living in a day and age where we need to know what's going on? Because I promise you, you're not going to get it off of your TV or your radio. You might get something off of there, but it's not going to be the truth. You need to know what thus saith the Lord says. We need to know that thus saith the Lord, I'm coming and I'm coming soon. And thus saith the Lord, don't go that direction, but go in this direction. We need to know that. We need to pray for godly leaders that we will all walk in the ways of the light. Amen. That we would be honest and true people of God. We all need that. Another thing, when Jesus came and he told John and Nathaniel and all the disciples, come and follow me, the first thing they did was go tell somebody else. John went and told Andrew. Simon went and told Philip. Philip went and told Nathaniel, come and see. Come and see this man. Man, you got to see what he does. He does miracles every day. I watched him put his hands on somebody's eyes and they were opened. I watched him touch a dead person and they became alive. Come and see. Come and see. Now, if we're not seeing that, it's hard for us to go tell somebody to come and see. But if God is doing something in your life and you're excited about it and you're seeing God do things about it, then you can go and tell somebody, come and see. Come and see. See, I watched God do a miracle in this family just this week. And I'll tell you, I'll be the first one to stand here to tell you, come and see what great things God did. Not us, but what God did, because God took something that was falling apart and he put it back together. And these two people, I called them the other day, and you can't keep them away from one another. I mean, it's like, would you please just leave her alone just a minute and finish talking to me? You know, I mean, they're talking and you can hear them in the phone. I mean, they're excited about the things of God. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? You know, you ought to kiss your wife like that sometime. If I call your house, you know, I ought to have to pry you away from her. Glory to God. This ain't got nothing to do with marriage, but just go ahead and take the call. The call of God is good. The call. Now, with the call, it comes a cost. Everything comes with a price. And I would be a fool to stand up here and tell you to this morning that the call is going to be good, that you're going to accept and you're going to hear from God and you're going to just go and flow and everything is going to come up roses everywhere you go. That's not true. I've been following the Lord over 30-something years, and I'm going to tell you what, there's times where I wonder, is anything good going to come out of this? But I've learned not to let go. I've learned to hold on and wait, and if I wait long enough, God's going to show himself up. Amen? How many of you know I got a Timex right here, and God don't have one of those? If he does, it don't keep good time. Because his time is never on my time, but he's never late. Amen? He's always on time. Count the cost. Jesus told the disciples, he said, when a man goes and builds a tower, let him count the cost. You know, you'd be a nut to go out there today and to go buy material and just say, I'm going to go build me a new house. And you never checked on the price of wood. You never checked on the price of labor. You never checked on the price of anything. You just started spending. Well, somewhere along the way, you're going to run out of money. Because you didn't stop and count the cost. My wife got on to me so many times when we built our house. I told her, look, we got this much money to build this house with. We're going to build it with this much money. If we get some cheaper stuff, we'll get it. We'll replace it later when we get some more money. We'll fix it. But right now, we're going to stay on this budget. No more, no less. We're going to spend this much money. So every time we go buy something, she'd say, well, let's just get this. It's only a few dollars more. And it's like, yes, a few dollars more, but you need 10 of them. And she'd say this, and I said, no, we're going to spend this much. And she finally got to the point where she says, I think I will just leave him alone because he is so dogmatic about spending this much. Well, let me tell you something. We built our house, and we spent that much. And that was it. And we finished it. And I had $200 left. And I said, now you can go buy those 10 little items you wanted and we'll put those in there. But we're done. Now, you might say, well, you're so mean to her. And it's like, no, I'm not. I just know how to count the cost because I've watched people go to build a X amount of dollar house. And when they got through with it, it was 25 or 30% more than that. And now they're way in debt. And how many of you know that's why we're in the bailout mode that we're in right now in America? Because somebody didn't count the cost. I mean, it's time for Christians to buckle up here and say, no, enough is enough. I'm going to count the cost. I'm going to count the cost as far as buying and building, but I'm going to count the cost as far as serving God. Amen? I mean, there's things that God's going to call us to do, and I'm not talking about weird, crazy things, but He's going to call you to do some things, and it's going to cost you something to get that done. It may be money sometimes. It may be time sometimes. It may be a sacrifice for you to have to stop and go do something. But if you want to heed the call, if you want to listen to what God is saying, it's going to cost you. Everybody say, it's going to cost me. Well, just go ahead and reckon that, add that to your checkbook, whatever you got to do. Because if you're going to do it, let's just get it done. How many of you know? Because if God says it, it's important. And if it's important, then God is in it. Amen? The cost of discipleship. Mark 8, 34 to 38, it says, let a man deny himself and take up his cross. And the disciples begin to ask questions. And it says, well, you know, I have a father that died. And Jesus was real stern about it. He said, let the dead bury the dead. Are you going to follow me or are you going to go bury the dead? I'll never forget when we were in Bible college, we were going through some stuff and somebody said, well, what do you do if you're a missionary and you're in a foreign country and you're already on a very tight budget and you've already gone home to get money from the church and people have helped you and stuff and a loved one dies in America and you have to turn around and fly back with your wife and your kids? And I'll never forget that missionary that was there. He says, let the dead bury the dead. Now that sounds kind of hard and cruel. But how many of you know that we ought to say our goodbyes to somebody every day we see them? We may never see them again. My sister was mad at me the other day because I wasn't there. I had to put my mom back in the emergency room. And I pretty well said all I needed to say to my mom last year and this year. And it's like, Mom, I love you and I'll care for you. And I'll be here in a heartbeat if I can. But if I got something to do that pertains to the Lord, I'm not going to be here. She said, I totally understand. And I walked out of that room and not knowing if I'd ever see her again. Now, she's still alive. She's still doing good. But sometimes there's decisions. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm not saying being ugly and mean and cruel. But if we're going to serve God, are we going to serve God? Sometimes we're just going to have to back up from things and say, you know what? I'm going to do it God's way. Because if I do it God's way, He'll make it work out at the end for everything. Amen? 1 Peter 2:20, it says, when you do good and suffer... Joseph was a good man. He went through all kinds of trials and tribulations. I call it he was pitted, he was potted, and he was pitted again. You know? And that literally means that he was thrown in a pit, sold for slavery. He got out of there, he went straight to Potiphar's house, worked up a brand new level of faith, a brand new level of doing what God wants him to do. And all at once, he's in the same house with Potiphar's wife, an evil, no good woman. And she tries to put the make on him, if you will, excuse the language. And he ran from that. And as he was running, she ripped his coat off on the way out. And guess what? He was doing, do you think that was a good thing he was doing? Yes, it was a good thing. If you said no, you need to, I will be down here in a little while. Yes, it was a good thing he was doing. He was running from evil. And because of his running from evil, they threw him in prison for 2 years. He was pitted again for doing a good thing. There's times that you're going to do things that's going to be right and noble, and somebody is going to blame you about it. They're going to persecute you about it. Did not Jesus say, pray for those that persecute you? He said, pray for those that despitefully use you. Pray for your enemy. Now, if God says pray for your enemy and pray for all these things, that right there in itself ought to be enough to sacrifice for a prayer meeting. Amen? But we got to do those things. If we don't do those things, then that will come back to us. And we will begin to bitter heart of anger and torment that will come and say, I did what was right. And they got away with it. And I had to go pay the price. See, when we get that attitude, we're not winning. We're not answering the call. We got to go through the thing and let God do vengeance the way He will do things, not the way that we do it. Y'all hear me? I'm not hearing y'all say amen. I need y'all to help me this morning. It's kind of quiet in his place. Persecution and hated. They were lied about. Jesus was, and so will we. People will lie about you. People will do things to hurt you sometimes, even though you're doing a good and right thing for the Lord. Paul's commission, the very first thing he says when Jesus called him, he says, tell Paul, these are the things that you will suffer for to follow me. Now, how would you like to get that invitation? You know, go to a meeting where a prophet's at and they give an altar call and you go down there and he looks right at you and he says, let me tell you the things that you're going to suffer through to serve God. It's like, I think I've come to the wrong meeting. You know, I am in the wrong line. I want to get a blessing line. I want to get a yes and amen line. Well, you know what? To get the yes and amen line, you got to get in the suffering line sometimes. They go hand in hand. I think I have a... No, I don't even have a quarter. But if I had a quarter, it's got two sides to it. It's got a heads and a tail. And life, a lot of times, is exactly the same way. It comes with one good side and usually one bad side. But they all go together. Amen? Sometimes new relationships, this is what Luke 8 says. It says, my mother and my brothers are those that hear the word of God and do it. Those are the children of God. Those that hear God's word and those that do God's word. Not only those that just hear God's word, but those that begin to do it. You know, it's such a blessing to many times that you'll see a need or you'll see something that's come up and you'll know that that's God. And then someone else may call you on the phone or come by and they'll say exactly the same thing. And it's like, you know what? We're in tune here because we're walking in the Spirit. We're watching God do something and there's a relationship being formed together. You know as well as I do, when you come here and you take part in a function maybe that we have at the church. It's one of the things that we're trying to do through the, if you want to call it Sunday school or training that we're going to do in January, is to build relationships. But you know what it is to get in a group of people and someone will pour their heart out and tell how they got saved or what's going on in their life, and all at once your heart goes to that person. And you feel a connection with that person. And you feel like, hey, we are family. I feel when they're excited and I feel when they're sad because they're part of my body. We're together. How many of you know that we are the body of Christ? Every one of us is the body of Christ. But so many times we say, well, I don't want to go to that class. Or I don't want to go to that. I don't feel led to go there. You know, it's like, well, get led to go. Get the lid out and go. Amen? I mean, it's time for us to come to that place that we start working together. We start playing together. We start fellowshipping together. We start serving God together. Amen? That's why Jesus sent them out two by two. He wanted one maybe to be the mouthpiece, the other one to do the praying. And just work and do the work that God's got for us to do. Amen? We can sign up for Sunday school right after this. No, I'm joking. But there's also choices. Is there a call? Yes, there's a call. Is there a cost? Yes, there's a cost. Is there a choice that you can choose whether to go or not to go? And I was going through some of the scriptures, and one of them was about remember the plow. Jesus said this. He says, any man having put his hand on the plow and looking back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. Once we answer that call, there is no turning back. Amen. There's no turning back. We can't just go and flippantly get in and out of the kingdom of God. We're either in it or we're out of it. And there's no sense in looking back. Because if you look back, I tell you, the only thing is there is just like Lot's wife. The Bible says that she looked back. And she was told, don't look back. When you leave this city, you need to go forward and you need to move on. But don't look back. And the Bible says that as they were going, they were running up that hill and it probably looked like one set of prints with Lot and his wife and his children. And they were all going and all at once one of them kind of loses step. And she gets slower and slower, and then she turns and looks back. And when she did, the Bible says she turned into a pillar of salt. Did she love Lot? Yes, she did. But she loved Sodom a lot more than she loved Lot. And not only did she lose the kingdom, she lost her husband and she lost her children by looking backwards. See, there's a choice. Everything comes with two sides. And there's a choice that we have to make. Demas was one of the followers of Apostle Paul. He worked with him hand in hand. Can you imagine working with the Apostle Paul to see where he was going, to see what he was doing? He was writing these love letters, these epistles to us. And he was sitting there day after day, probably even helping him write some of them. Doing the work and being in the ministry. And Paul writes one of the letters and he writes back and he says, "And Demas has left me because of the cares and the riches of this world." I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but that's heart-rending to watch somebody that's been in the kingdom and they know the difference. They've tasted the good things of heaven. They know what God does. They've felt the presence of God. And they turn around and they look back and they went back into the world. I got some good friends and I'm not proud of it at all. But I've watched some of them go back into the world. And I watched their life and it's a downward fall. I don't care what they do. They might have plenty of money, but they don't have nothing inside of them. They're as empty as a jar would be with nothing in it. What a sad commentary to follow after the things of God and then turn back for the cares and the riches of this world. Especially after what we're seeing right now. You know, if your cares and your riches has been in the stocks and bonds and the economy and all the things that's going on, you know, you see where it's headed right now. And hopefully it'll stop somewhere along the way. But if it don't, you know what? My God is still in control. He's still Jehovah Jireh. He's still going to be my provider. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's going to give me peace through the storm and he's going to give it to you. But you know what? We're going to have to be marching and listening to the word of God to hear what he's saying. How many of you know that the lines are getting closer and closer together to where we're going to have to, we're going to know that we're walking in the right road or the bad road? I think the gray is being removed. You either are or you ain't. It's going to be two ways, and it's getting closer that way every time I see things. I mean, if you've watched the news, I mean, even Israel right now is in a battle. As we speak today, there's a battle going on there. And not only them, but other countries are all taking line and to do things that could set this whole thing up for the ends of things. Not to scare you, it's just Bible stuff. Just you read the Bible, you can read it in the news. Amen? Remember Lot's wife. But listen to this. I want you to turn to Mark 10. Faithfulness is rewarded. It says, "Then Peter began to say to him, 'See, we have left all and followed you.'" Have you ever, I want you to listen to this while we're reading it. Think about it. Have you ever done this and you felt like that you were there? This is what Peter said. He says, "We have left all and followed you." So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with," what does it say? "Persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." You know, Jesus has promised us so many things. And I don't care what you've left behind. I don't care what you leave behind this year. God is able to replenish that 100-fold over and over and over. I was talking to a lady just morning. In fact, it was Linda, I don't think you mind if I tell them this. Linda Caldwell was telling me that since she went to work at the warehouse, helping them distribute food to the hungry people, that she has got more blessings than she's ever had in her life. Her freezers are full. Everything is working. Plumbing's fixed. Thank God for that, you know. All kinds of things that she needs. Because you know what? It's God's favor. When we begin to do God's work, God will take care of us supernaturally, and He will cause people to come to you. See, that scripture we read a lot of times when we're doing tithes and offerings up here about out of the book of Luke, it says, "Give, and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together," that God would cause men to give to you. That's not only for money. That's for everything. If you give your time and you give your talents or you give whatever it is you have, God's going to give it back. He's going to cause men to give it back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Amen. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you had that? Say amen if you have. Amen. You know, I don't care what it is I got. If I give something away, it's going to come back. And I'm not even going to have room for it. And I thank God for it because that means I can give it away again. More and more. The more I got, the more I can give away. The more I give away, the more I got. And God wants to bless us, but that there's faithfulness that's rewarded. If we will be faithful about the things of God, if we will answer the call, if we will look at the cost and make the right choice, God's favor will be on you. I promise you that. There's also a commission that comes with this. It says, freely you have received, freely give. You know, one thing I would love that every Christian would do, make it a point in their life, is to learn how to witness to other people. Because every one of us can touch people that some other person cannot do. I got people that I can witness to. You would probably turn them off. Do you got people that you can witness to? And I would turn them off. They'd say, he's too loud, he's too pushy, whatever. I mean, there'd be something that they would find. But you know what? They'll listen to you because they listen to you every day. And when they see your faith grow, they're going to see things happen. And when you come and you share the good and the persecution and the doubts and the fears, but you share the power of God and the Word of God, they're going to say, you know what? That is a real person. And they go through real trials. And I know one thing, they may not be perfect, but they got the answer for everything that comes around. You see, that is what a witness is all about. Another thing a witness is about is to learn the Word of God, to be a good student of the Word of God. One of the things I taught years ago for 18 years was a foundations class. And we haven't done that in probably 4 or 5 years. But you know what? I watched when people would come through the foundations class, we would have more people come to church. You know another thing? Our tithes and offerings went up probably 20%. Just by doing that one class. I watched it for 18 years. It was like the whole level of everything just went up because people were tuned in to the Word of God. They were tuned in to giving. They were tuned in to witnessing to people. Have we lost that? Have we lost it? You know, that's a question. I'm not going to pinpoint anybody. But if I had to ask you, do you still have that hunger? That hunger that just gnaws on the inside of you and it says, I got to have more of God. I got to have more. And to get more, I got to share more. And when I give, when Jesus left this earth, let me tell you what he said. Or let me tell you this part. He says, be a servant. The disciples wanted to sit on the left, one on the right. They wanted different places in the kingdom of God. And Jesus told them, he says, you want to be great? You want to be great? Come here, I'm going to show you how to be great. And he set them down and he got a pot of water and a towel. And he took their shoes off, their dirty, nasty shoes. They'd been walking in camel's dung and everything else in the streets. And you know what he did? He washed their feet. And I'm sure they're sitting there wondering, you know, all I wanted to do was sit on the right or the left in the kingdom, and he's washing my feet. It's like, duh, get the message. To be a servant, to be a servant is to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. You know, when you serve somebody, you become the great one. Now, don't do it out of a motivation because I want to be great. But you know what? A real servant has a humble heart. They have a giving heart. They have a heart that says, I'm doing it for you because I love you. Not because I want a great reward out of it or I want to be great in the kingdom of God. I'm doing it because of the love of God. Amen? Thank y'all. I know y'all thinking. The Great Commission, this is what Jesus told them, his disciples, before he left. I was standing on that spot that they call the Ascension Mountain in Jerusalem one time. And it was an awesome place. It's up on the top right there. And it's where Jesus was supposed to have left. And of course, they got a big old footprint like hewn out of the rock. And you know good and well it's not the original thing, because it does says nothing about a footprint because of tourists. They got to put something there for you to see. But nevertheless, I was there in the story. I read the story while I was there. We had a devotion, and the guy asked me if I would do it. And I said, yeah, I'll do it. I'll tell you exactly what Jesus said when he left right here. And this is taken out of Mark 16, 15, 18. It says, go. Now, that's translated from the original Greek, get up and move. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. For they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Amen? Now that's the commission that Jesus left with us. I learned a long time ago before I left home that when my daddy told me something, if he was going somewhere, the last thing he says, now listen to me. And he gave me some very vital instructions about what to do. Now some of it went totally over my head. And I knew if it went over my head, it was going to eventually catch up on my rear part. So I learned to listen better to do that. But when Jesus left this earth, this is what he said. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, is that a simple thing for us to do? You know, some of you may never be called to come up here to preach behind a pulpit. You may never be called to go preach in a Sunday school class. But you know what? You're called to tell your neighbor about Jesus. You're called to tell your brother and your sister and your mother and your daddy and your grandfather and your grandmother and your next door neighbor about Jesus. Every one of us has that call on our life. How many of you know what that call is? I mean, how many of you know that you're called of God to do something? You know, a lot of people used to ask me when I was leaving the dealership to come to be a pastor. They said, what kind of calling do you have on your life? I said, well, Jesus, he put out an invitation one day and I answered that call. And they said, well, you didn't hear thunder rolling. You didn't see a big bolt of light. You wasn't blind and came back, and you didn't die and come back. It's like, no, I answered the call. He says, come and follow me. And I got up and started following him. Now, is that a hard call? And every one of us has to make that call. But we got to know if we've made the call, we've answered the call rather, then we got to follow through with the call. And the call comes with a cost. And it comes with a choice, and it comes with a commission. Amen? Y'all still with me? Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do greater. You ever think about that? How many of you in here has done greater works than Jesus? Yeah. I don't think any of us has. So that tells me that we're not answering the call sometimes. And that's not to bring guilt on us, but it is to bring us to a place and say, you know what? I think he may be right. I do get to go places that Jesus never went. I do get to talk to people now that would never get to talk to Jesus. So in a way, we are doing works that Jesus said that we would do. We do get to lay hands on those that's in the hospital and watch them recover. I see that every time I go to the hospital. I see every time we go and lay hands on people, they may not jump up right there and immediately, but I do watch them come in these doors from time to time because God has done what he promised he would do. And that's part of answering the call, is to believe his promises are true every day. Amen? Sower of the seeds. One of the things is we need the character of Christ. The character of Christ. That's when you know that you're following him. You see, if I see people and they start talking to me and they'll say certain things, especially if they're griping, I guess you can say, or whining about something, or they've got a lot of excuses about so-and-so said this and yanny, and it's like, okay, we'll deal with that. That's an issue. We'll talk about that. And then all at once, here comes another one over here And they go and talking exactly like this person was talking. I know y'all don't have that problem. But I know that this person has been following this person. Because they talk alike. They act alike. They got the same complaints. They got the same whatever. Now that's the negative part. Now positive part is you find somebody over here. God is doing something. I mean, there are so many good things happening. And we're so blessed. And I see this happening and that happening. And then another person pops up over here. And they're saying, God is so good. We're so blessed. And I see things happening. I know these two people have been together. Are y'all with me? Now, when I see people that are saying, you know what, I hadn't seen a lot happen lately, but there's something, there's a fire down inside of here. And I know that God is about to do something. And I know that person is walking with the Lord because they're waiting to see what God's going to do. They're listening to say, God, you just speak the word and I'm going to go forth. That person is anxious about the things of God. And being anxious is a good thing in that way because they're hungry and they're fired up and they want to see God do something great. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? And it's like, yeah, that person is following the Lord because there is something that's going to happen and you're going to see it manifested in their life because they're hanging on to His coattail the whole way. And they're waiting to see what He's going to do because they're anxious. But if you ask people, you know, how's your day? Well, the devil has beat me over the head this whole week. You know, and this has happened and that has happened and just nothing is working out right. I mean, I'm having a bad day. Well, it's like, who are you following? Are y'all hear what I'm saying? You see, if you're following the Lord, good things are happening around you. I mean, even the Apostle Paul and Silas was in the middle of the jail in a horrible place, bound and guarded, and they were still praising God, and they did not care what was going on. And when they did, God shows up. Amen. And bust the jail apart. Now we got to come to that place and realize we're going to have bad days. But just don't be saying everything you can and trying to put it on somebody else. Just saying, you know what? I feel horrible, but by the grace of God, I'm going to get better. I am getting better. You know, about a month ago, I got some steel wool. I was sanding something, and I know all you mothers say, well, you should have had your safety glasses on. I've heard that at least 400 times. But I didn't hear it that day. But I'm sanding something down, and I went to blow it off, and I said, and the wind blew every bit of it right back in my eyes. And I've been in and out of the eye doctor's office for a month. And I told him, there's something in there. He said, no, you have dry eye syndrome. I said, no, I got something in my eye. I know what my body's telling me. There's something in there. So they treated me. Every time I got a little bottle, it was $100. And it was after $400, I said, look, I got something in my eye. You going to get it out or not? I said, I'm not leaving. I've been waiting in the room for 45 minutes. I've been waiting in this room for 20 minutes, and it took you 5 minutes to come in here and give me a prescription. I ain't going nowhere till you get it out. Amen? I stayed there, and I think he gouged the rest of my eye out with a stick or something. But nevertheless, I stayed there, and he did get some more of it out. But I went home, and I told him, I said, there's still some there. I can feel it. He said, no, it's okay. It's just this dry syndrome. So I go home, and I said, Lord, I'm tired of having this eye problem. I need you to do something. I need this thing. I can't even sleep at night because it bothers me so bad. And sure enough, I felt it move. And when I did, I jumped up, ran out in the shop, got a magnet, and put it right there, and click, I got it out. Cost me nothing. Amen. See, God's a good God. Sometimes He'll let us go through things, but I did get to witness while I was at the doctor's office. So it was good, you know. I just didn't like staying there. The character of Christ has concern, He has compassion, and He has care. One man asked Him one time, he says, how can I enter the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus says, be a good person to people. And the guy says, well, how do you do that? He said, have compassion on people. So he told him the story of the Good Samaritan. He said, yes, one day that was this man, and he was going to a certain place. He was going down from Jericho to Jerusalem, or from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And he said as he was going, he fell among thieves. And the thieves took him and beat him, killed him, almost killed him. He was half dead. I didn't know that was in there until yesterday. I read that. He was half dead. And he was in the ditch. And Jesus says a Levite came by, or a certain priest, let me put it this way, a certain priest came by the same road that he was on, and he saw him, and he turned and went the other way. And he said, then there was a Levite that came, and he saw the man in the ditch, and it says he went over, and he looked, but then he turned and went away. But Jesus said that there was one man that came by, the Good Samaritan. And he came and he saw him. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And then he went down and he cared for him. He did something about it because he was following Jesus. You see, there's something that motivates us to do that because there's that part of the character of Christ that should be in every one of us, not just one or two of us, but every one of us. And when we see things that we are to be moved with compassion. I never thought I would be moved with compassion the way this little girl was in Florida. Her mother, they think she killed her, little Kaylee thing, Anthony or whatever. You know, I was watching that on TV and I was just sitting there bawling my eyes out. And it's like, here's this precious little baby, that never, 3-year-old girl that never hurt anybody. And she's so pretty, and that she lost her life. And it's like, who cares for her? Who cares for her? And all you could hear was the news. But you know what? I watched after they found her little bones and they got her out of those woods, that people began to go in there and put wreaths and different things. And they said right now it's like a cemetery. You know why? Because people care. People are moved with compassion. But sometimes if we don't watch ourselves, we can become calloused by what we hear, what we see on TV and everywhere else. It's like, who cares about that? Well, we should care about that. We as Christians, when we see another Christian hurting, we ought to be the first ones to go and to get them and say, hey, man, I love you. I want to see you back in church. I want to see you following God again. I did that with one of my friends for over 3 years. And every time I would go, he was just as cold and dead as everything. But I had heard from God to go and to do what I was doing. And I bought him more Sonny's barbecues than you can imagine. But you know what? One day we were sitting there and he said, you know what? He just kind of broke and his eyes filled up with tears. And he said, man, he said, you just don't give up, do you? And I said, no. I said, what you talking about? He said, you've been doing this for 3 years, and I've been listening to you. He said, you might think I was not listening, but I was. And he said, I want you to know that I have come back. I'm coming back. And he is. He's serving God again today. He's doing what he needs to do. But you know what? It takes, and I'm not patting my own back about that. I'm just telling you what I did because God told me to do that. And he's going to tell you to do some things, but you're going to have to be persistent in doing what God tells you to do. And don't give up. You see, the call comes because he says, come and follow me, not come and disperse from me. When we're following him, that means that we got things to do for the glory of God. Amen. And I want to challenge you, church, this year as we're going through what we're going to go through, we've had some great times here at this church. We're going to have some even better times. Better times. We're going to see some great things happen. And it doesn't matter on how many or few is here. It matters on the quality of who is here. It matters on those that will answer the call and say, Lord, I'm going to be one of those that will make a stand for you. I'm going to be one of those that's going to answer the call. Mike, won't y'all come on up if you will. I'm going to answer the call and I'm going to do what you want me to do this year. You know, we haven't got to the place of making New Year's resolutions. That'll be Thursday, you know. But if you want to make an early one, today would be a good time to do it, you know. To come and say, you know what, I did answer that call one time and I have followed Christ and am following Christ. But you know what, I think maybe God's calling me to a different level than where I am. And I don't want to be afraid of that level, but I want to step up to that level. And I want to begin to do what God says to do. And if you would, while they're coming up, I want you to stand if you would. And Jesus is still calling today. And I don't care how young or how old, young a Christian or how old a Christian you are. He's still saying, come and follow me. Come and follow me. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. You may be here today and you might have never accepted Christ in your life. You might have never decided to follow him. Of course, after hearing this message, you may be a little afraid of that. But I'm going to tell you what, I'd never be afraid of something that's going to bless me. I'd be afraid of going out that door to see what the world's got to give me. I want you to come today. I'm going to ask some questions, and I want you to ask yourself these questions. Am I walking in the Spirit? Am I walking as a child in the light? Am I carrying out the Great Commission? Am I doing what Jesus told me to do as a Christian? And if you haven't, I want you to come. I want you to come on down. I think it would do good for all of us to get up and come. Say, Lord, we've been doing, but maybe we can do more. Maybe we can carry the message better. Maybe we can hear your voice better if we come to a new level, if we begin to do what you've said to do. I want you to come. Don't waste time. Don't look for somebody else to come. You just do it. You make that move. And if you've never accepted Christ in your life, I want you to come and stand right over here. I want to talk to you. Just you and I. I just want to talk to you.